Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Southwest Louisiana Economic Intel Podcast. I am Dan Groff, Director of the Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis at McNeese State University, Associate Professor of Economics at McNeese, and economist with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. Today we are joined by Mike Smith and Elena Mushka. They are reporters with the Advocate newspaper who were assigned to move to the area and cover the recovery of Southwest Louisiana over the past few years. Now, that particular position has come to an end, and Mike is now covering environmental issues in New Orleans, and Elena will begin covering health topics in Lafayette. So thank you so much for agreeing to be on. Really appreciate it. And I loved reading your articles. And I want to speak to you because you both have very different backgrounds in terms of where you're from and what you've covered. But you both came into the region with the same objective. So there will be some cool viewpoints that we'll get from there. So can you just sort of tell us, how did you come into the position of being the Lake Charles recovery reporter for The Advocate? And I'll start with Mike, because he was here first.
Okay, yeah, and thanks for having us, Dan. I had worked mostly as a foreign correspondent for a long time, but I'm from Louisiana. I'm from the New Orleans area. When the job came available to cover the kind of post-storm recovery in Southwest Louisiana, I thought it'd be an interesting job. The aim of the position was not to kind of cover the sort of back and forth every day, but to kind of take a look at the bigger picture issues, which I thought was interesting. And there was the added aspect of it, which was that it was basically getting no attention after all the destruction that the region had seen. It was basically being ignored. So there was also a kind of added importance to the role. I thought I could kind of approach it as both an outsider and an insider. Outsider because, you know, I don't know that region of the state, but I'm from Louisiana, and also I have been gone for a very long time, so I could see it. I could see it from various perspectives, I thought, and that would be an interesting and important role I thought I could fill.
And Elena, what about you coming from Germany and different background?
Yeah, so as Mike mentioned, he has a lot of experience as a foreign correspondent, and I think that type of work was always really interesting to me. And in a way, you know, being from a different country and reporting in the U.S., even though it was always for U.S. publications, I always sort of felt that way a little bit as someone who would come into a new community and sort of learn the community and report on it. And I sort of approached this role in Lake Charles in a similar way. But there was also some familiarity for me because I grew up in sort of a coastal rural community in Germany. And so I think I saw a lot of parallels, especially with, you know, if not the city of Lake Charles, but the overall region. And so I think this challenge of living and having experienced these disasters, but living in a region that is not very well covered and doesn't get the same attention that other parts of the state do, I think that just really spoke to me, and I could relate to that, coming from where I'm from. So yeah, I think that's what drew me to this role, and it was a really exciting opportunity to do something very different from what I had done in the past.
And what I think is great is we love the American press here, we love KPLC, but The Advocate is a bigger newspaper with much more statewide exposure. You know, you have the Acadiana, you have the New Orleans and the Baton Rouge, and these stories were actually in basically a statewide newspaper, which I thought was great and really brought a lot of info and a lot more visibility, as you all were saying. So when you came here, what did you expect to cover regarding recovery, and were there any surprises, or what did you experience while you were out here covering the area?
I kind of didn't know what to expect, to be honest. It was almost a blank slate for me. And so what surprised me was, one, the kind of the extent of the damage that was still there. I mean, I didn't show up until, let's see, I want to say that was it April of 2021? So, coming up on almost not quite a year after the storm, still within a year, but months later, and the damage was still pretty widespread and significant, and so it kind of surprised me. And then what also surprised me, the more it was one of those things, the more you talk to people, the more you realize kind of how kind of deep the problems were in the recovery. On the surface, it was one thing, and you had, you know, houses that were still damaged and buildings damaged and boarded up. But as you talked more to people, you realized that, you know, there were all these problems with they were having with their insurance companies or whatever, you know, all those kinds of things people go through in storm recoveries, but which were amplified because it wasn't getting any attention anywhere. So yeah, it just felt like a huge issue that was being ignored. I mean, that was kind of the my impression, and the surprise for me came in.
Look, what did you expect to cover versus what you saw?
I think I also didn't quite know what to expect when I came into the role, but I would say I had the same feeling that. I think what surprised me was coming in, you know, 2 years after the storm almost, how much devastation there still was, how much destruction you could still see. And I think that was surprising. But obviously, I had the sort of fun and exciting role to also see, you know, some of the federal help finally arrive and make its way, you know, to people. So, which that had still not really been the case when Mike was here. So that was a little bit different about my role. But yeah, I think what surprised me the most coming there as a new reporter was to see how much there was still to do in terms of recovery.
Well, with so much history and so much experience, but you came into Southwest Louisiana, how does this region compare to other regions or other countries you covered? What similarities or unique aspects do you see about this area?
It's kind of hard to compare it. I mean, in some ways there is like parts of it were similar to other places, but then there were parts of it that are completely unique, you know, like the sort of the balance of trying to, you know, of attracting industry and petrochemical companies and energy companies and that sort of thing. And the financial and economic benefits they can bring in jobs, but at the same time balancing that with the environmental concerns and quality of life issues. You see that in lots of places. It might be amplified more, I think, in Southwest Louisiana because of the degree of industrialization, maybe. But that's I guess some of my experience. I've covered energy in a lot of different places, so that helped me in that sense. LNG build out in Southwest Louisiana. I think I've covered LNG in several countries now, and the kind of, you know, upsides and downsides of it. So that was that kind of helped me put that into some kind of context. But then you have to layer on top of that the kind of unique situation of Southwest Louisiana, which is, you know, the kind of unique history of it being this sort of, you know, the no man's land type place that kind of developed on its own, and then kind of being overshadowed by, you know, New Orleans or Houston, for example, but having its own unique culture that grew out of all of that in a way, which people don't really doesn't get much attention, so people aren't that aware of. You know, there's a kind of there are elements of Creole and some Cajun combined with a lot of other aspects, you know, is almost a kind of Texas Cajun. It's a kind of Texas meets the Cajuns, almost kind of Texans and Cajuns, which I realized after some time being there, which was an interesting thing. You don't see that much in Louisiana, I think, maybe at all. You know, I mean, Lafayette area is obviously known for its Cajun culture, but that feels like in Lake Charles, you get more of a sort of I don't know, a sort of cowboy meets the Cajuns, you know, so, and it's, and then you have the Zydeco trail rides and all that, which is a great part of the culture too. So yeah, I mean, all of that I found was a great discovery for me, and sort of just emphasize the point of there's so much kind of worth preserving and rescuing in that part of the state.
Now, Elena, we don't really have like a Germantown here in Southwest Louisiana, but compared to where you've covered, and did you see any unique aspects? Like what stood out to you? Any similarities? Anything?
Well, we've got Roberts Cove. Let's not forget about the humans of Roberts Cove. But I think the big difference for me has, or the sort of new discovery was, I had mostly reported in sort of larger metropolitan areas. And while there are, those places have their unique own threats to sort of community, and people are being driven out of those communities as well in different ways, whether it be priced out or, you know, concerns about gentrification, that sort of thing. I had never reported on a place that where nature was the driving factor, and natural disasters were what, you know, what was threatening the way of life there. So that was a completely new landscape for me to report on. At the same time, I think I very quickly discovered what I think Mike also saw from our conversations and reading, you know, his work, is just the resilience of this community and an almost like defiant commitment to staying there and preserving that way of life in Southwest Louisiana. And I think that was, you know, that was really cool for me to see. And it was also a great motivation for the work that, you know, I had been, or I have been doing for that year in this position. So, yeah, I think that was sort of the discovery, the primary discovery for me working in Southwest Louisiana. Oh,
great. And you both covered all aspects, actually. I read all your stories, all aspects of Southwest Louisiana, but this is an economic podcast. So what stories or events really stood out to you with regard to the economy in our area? And housing infrastructure, they all tie into economics, so I guess you can choose one of those. But what stood out with you? What are some of the stories you really remember? Or even a story maybe you couldn't finish. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would say kind of obviously the plants and the industrial side would get a lot of attention. But I think for me, the more interesting part of it, and the part that is not only economic but ties into the local culture and is so important for the community, is kind of the local businesses and the way we started to gradually see some of those come back, and then some of the initiatives that are kind of slowly taking shape. Who knows if they'll be successful in the end, but that could, if they are successful, would I think really be an important driver. Like I'm thinking of the Nellie Lutcher district and the efforts to build that out. I think that's it's got great potential. I have no idea whether that's going to result in what the city hopes to see. But when you talk about North Lake Charles and kind of trying to find something to catalyze, you know, development there, I think that could be one of the things that could do that. And then you also have obviously the Port Wonder complex, which looks like it's finally beginning over there, which I think has great potential. And this idea of, pulling the people, the casinos are obviously an important part of all this. And so, but the idea, I think, of getting people who go to the casinos to go to other parts of the city, and not only at businesses that are kind of maybe national chains or something, you know, but something with some local connection, I think is a great idea. And I think if following that logic has great potential for Lake Charles. I mean, I realize that's happening to some degree. Who knows if it can be successful, but I think some of those projects have the potential to do that.
Yeah, I'd like to second all of that. But one of the last stories that I wrote was about Investors Day, and I think that is the schedule for that day, the focus of that day, I think is a great example for how the city has sort of emerged from this initial focus of housing, because the last Investors Day, the focus was on housing. And I think seeing that now the outreach to investors expands beyond that is sort of a sign of the city's recovery and of the city sort of trying to rebuild in more ways than just housing. So at that day, someone, I unfortunately can't remember who it was, but someone brought up, I think, a good point that might have come across a little cynical, but that I think is very true for Lake Charles, is wherever there is large scale destruction, like the city has seen from the hurricanes, it is also an opportunity to rebuild and to create something new. And I think in my year of reporting there, I have seen those efforts. Like Mike said, an expansion beyond what seemed like somewhat of a singular focus on casinos and petrochemicals, to go beyond that and create different draws to the city for outsiders, and also just a more diverse sort of economic portfolio for the city. And I think that'll be really, really interesting to watch. I think that will be interesting to watch. And then one story that I won't necessarily be able to cover, but that I think and I hope maybe local media can keep an eye on, is how the federal aid on the economic side gets distributed. There are over $100 million in the Restore program that are set aside for economic recovery, and that because there was such a big, understandably such a big focus on housing at first and getting people back into housing, I don't think any of those funds have been expended yet, to the best of my knowledge. So it'll be really interesting to see how that money gets spent. So I hope someone will be following that, since me and Mike won't be there to do it.
Yeah, we had Alberto on last month to talk about that, and it's a lot of stuff to you know, keep track of. So absolutely, I agree with that.
Dan, real quick, if I could just say, I think the groundbreaking, I think, was when Elena was there, but like the developments like that HRI complex kind of on the edge of downtown, I think, is another good because housing, like you mentioned, is such a huge issue, you know, and really that's going to be key, I think, to kind of driving any kind of growth, getting a workforce back.
Okay. And final question. So as we all learn and grow in our careers, we take things with us. So is there anything you learned or anything about covering this area that you think you'll take with you, or how will it affect how you cover events in the future? How will your experience here sort of, you know, affect you in the future, I guess?
I would say there was two main things. One was, it was a reminder for me of the kind of impact, I guess, that coverage on these kinds of things can have. We get kind of maybe cynical sometimes and think that none of this has any effect on anything, and we kind of write these stories and they disappear in the ether somewhere and nobody ever sees them. But I think in this case, it did seem to have an impact on the attention brought on the city, and kind of, you know, even all the way up to Washington, we hope it had some influence. I mean, I'm not trying to say this was, you know, I'm saying there was maybe some impact. I don't know how much, you know, but I think it's an example of the power that, you know, if you really cover a subject, especially when it's not being covered, you can really kind of put it on the map and make people understand why it's important. And then the other thing was also a reminder of, and Elena kind of touched on this, is the kind of, you know, the people in not just Southwest Louisiana, but all of Louisiana, and kind of how they continually come back from these storms and do things on their own and are so kind of welcoming and nice while doing it, you know. I mean, they'll invite you into their house and they're ready to explain, you know, everything that's happened to them. And that's one of the things that I really found, especially when I first arrived, was how willing and eager people were to tell their stories, because I think I got the impression that they too felt like this was just being completely ignored and people needed to hear this. So people were just kind of almost, I never experienced so much people almost literally thanking me for doing these stories, which was a powerful thing as a reporter to hear, because we often we're often more used to being yelled at than being thanked.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my experience as well. Just how open people were to sharing their stories made my life a lot easier, but it also was just a really great experience as a reporter. And for me, this was a big learning curve. I had never lived in Louisiana before. I think I've driven through once before. So I both learned a lot about Louisiana in this role, and I learned a lot about, you know, the sort of the structures and the processes of hurricane recovery. And I think in a state that has experienced that so often, that is sort of an important thing to learn about as a reporter who is now hoping to stay here for a while. So Southwest Louisiana and Lake Charles is really my entry point to Louisiana. And even though I'm in a new role now, you know, I didn't go very far. I went about an hour and 15 minutes east. And there's a reason for that, right? Like, both as an individual and as a reporter, I immediately felt really comfortable and welcomed here, and I'm really excited to continue reporting on life in Louisiana. And I think, you know, my experience in Lake Charles really laid the groundwork for that. So I'm really thankful, honestly, to the community for allowing me to do my work there and for being so open to that.
Wow. Well, thank y'all so much for being on the podcast, and thanks for all the stories you wrote and the work you're continuing to do for the state of Louisiana, because we're all part of the same state, even though you're southeast and you're now central or central south, and we're still over here in southwest Louisiana. But loved all the work you did, and thank you so much for everything.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
This show is presented by the H.C. Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis at McNeese State University in partnership with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. You can find more information about our regional economy at www.mcneesedrewecon.org.